The U.S. DOT's Inspector General levels still more criticism at the FAA. American Airlines tells 900 flight attendants they face furloughs. And former Airbus CEO Gustav Humbert is questioned by French authorities. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 3rd, 2008. A new report from the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation says that even after this spring's embarrassing public spectacle over the FAA's handling of airline maintenance and safety issues, the agency isn't ensuring full investigations when its safety inspectors find problems. The Dallas Morning News reports the IG's report recommends the FAA establish an internal independent watchdog agency to address concerns raised by its inspectors. The IG called the current hierarchy, in which inspectors bring problems directly to top agency officials, quote, unequivocally ineffective and possibly even biased against resolving root causes of serious safety lapses, unquote. Since the Southwest scandal, the FAA has adopted a policy that prohibits FAA inspectors from going to work for airlines they previously regulated. The Inspector General wanted inspectors rotated on a regular basis to prevent them from getting too tight with airline management, but the FAA so far has balked at that idea. When major airlines announced capacity cuts at summer's end, we knew this was coming. American Airlines confirmed on Wednesday it has sent warn letters to 900 flight attendants, giving them notice they're eligible for furloughs beginning August 31st. Warn is not a verb in this case. It's a cruel acronym which refers to the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, a law passed by Congress to prevent the blindsiding of large numbers of workers. Dow Jones reports the letters are not layoff notices per se, but anyone receiving a warn notice can plan on being out of a job by the end of the summer. American has not yet disclosed how many pilots and mechanics will be cut, but with up to 12% of the airline's capacity going offline after Labor Day, it stands to reason a similar percentage of the workforce will be as well. In an attempt to entice older, higher-paid workers to leave voluntarily, American also said it will offer a voluntary bridge to retirement for U.S. and San Juan-based employees who are over age 50 and have at least 15 years of service. Accusations of insider trading at Airbus parent Eads first surfaced 2 years ago, when company execs showed suspiciously good timing in selling off their stock just before devastating delays in the Airbus A380 development program were announced. This week, former Airbus CEO Gustav Humbert was hauled in for questioning by French authorities. He's the third top-level Eads executive publicly implicated on charges of defrauding investors and the first German executive in the company to be detained by authorities. AFP News reports Humbert was detained for 48 hours for questioning beginning Monday on orders from judges Xavier Simeoni and Cecily Pendaris. As ANN reported, Humbert resigned from Eads July 3, 2006, along with Eads co-CEO Noel Forgard. Both men were among dozens of Eads execs who dumped their stock just before the A380 news sent Eads shares tumbling. Current Airbus CEO Thomas Enders, who served as Eads co-CEO along with Forgard, may also face charges. Airlines have called on their friends in Congress to block a White House plan that would require carriers to fingerprint foreign visitors before they travel back home. The Bush administration wants all international carriers to tackle the financial and logistical burden of computerized fingerprinting for 33 million visitors each year. The airlines say that will cost $12 billion annually through 2018, money they don't have right now due to the run-up in fuel costs. A House vote later this month is expected to delay the start of that requirement. House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, a Mississippi Democrat, says it's the responsibility of the government, not private carriers, to handle fingerprinting of international visitors. Coming up next on ANN, more trouble for a Dreamliner supplier. Delta and Northwest pilot union leadership agrees on post-merger contracts. And propellers make a comeback between Seattle and Portland. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 3rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. On Tuesday, even as news was surfacing about damage to a mid-body fuselage barrel destined for Boeing's fourth 787 Dreamliner flight test aircraft, the plant that manufactures those sections said it halted production for 24 hours following discoveries made during an FAA audit. The Seattle Times reports Global Aeronautica, a joint venture between Boeing and Italy's Alenia Aeronautica, was found by the FAA auditors to have lax processes to deal with foreign object debris, or FOD. The company says that during a visit June 18th through the 20th, the FAA noted, quote, observations of FOD and nonconformance with procedures, unquote. Foreign objects left in aircraft can cause annoying rattles and buzzes, but can also knock out important systems like hydraulics. During a 24-hour shutdown, which began Monday at 10 p.m., shift workers attended 8-hour training sessions on proper work procedures. While the shutdown was not related to last week's problem with fasteners incorrectly sized for their holes, an unnamed contractor said it wasn't surprising the FAA discovered problems, as a sizable portion of the workforce at Global have never worked on airplanes before. That same source noted that experienced aerospace workers typically arrive at the job with their own tools, kept in private toolboxes, which means the manufacturer would not know if a missing wrench was left in an aircraft. Quote, now people are paying attention to procedures, and everything is being done by the letter of the law. So it was a good thing this happened. It was like a wake-up call, unquote. It's looking like pilots for Delta and Northwest Airlines will come through the merger of the two carriers without the ugly civil war that marked the merger of U.S. Airways and America West 3 years ago. The Associated Press reports negotiators for the two groups, both of which are represented by the Airline Pilots Association, have signed off on contracts which will give 7,000 Delta pilots a combined 3.5% stake in the new company, and 5,000 Northwest pilots about 2.4%. The shares per pilot work out to be the same for both groups. More importantly, Northwest pilots have agreed to raises totaling 18% over 4 years. That'll bring their pay in line with current salaries of their colleagues at Delta. And the two pilot groups have agreed to accept binding arbitration to settle any seniority rank issues which remain when the merger is approved by regulators and shareholders. In the takeover of U.S. Airways by America West, a bitter feud over seniority rankings led pilots remaining from the old U.S. Airways to reject an arbitrated settlement, split with the ALPA, and form their own new union to fight what they felt was a settlement which favored pilots from the America West side. Seniority determines who bids first for aircraft types, routes, and vacation scheduling. Delta is hoping to complete the stock swap acquisition of Northwest by the end of this year. Lots of people travel between Portland and Seattle on business, and there are several ways to get there. One is Horizon Air's shuttle, but by the time you park, negotiate the terminal, deal with the TSA, and find ground transportation at each end, flying can take as long or longer than the 3-hour trip by car. But what if you could fly from Boeing Field instead of SeaTac, putting you closer to Seattle? What if you could be guaranteed you'd have no more than 8 fellow passengers, have more convenient parking at a much smaller, quieter terminal, and never have to take off your shoes? Would it be worth flying aboard a single-engine turboprop with no lavatory or flight attendant and paying a higher price to boot? The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports Kent Crayford is betting the answer, at least for many business travelers on day trips, will be yes, Crayford is the CEO of Seaport Airlines, which has operated for 25 years in Alaska as a commuter airline under the name Wings of Alaska. Seaport's new service started Monday, flying Pilatus PC-12s under Part 135 between Portland and Seattle every 45 minutes during peak times, and the flight time is only 40 minutes. Crayford says the idea to provide an alternative to the airlines came from watching business associates travel between Seattle and Portland. Quote, "I had clients who owned planes, and it was so easy and comfortable and convenient. Why can't the average Joe do this? We bring the convenience of a private plane to the average business traveler for roughly the same cost of a commercial airline. We think we'll be the new norm for short-distance travel," unquote. Despite the introductory fares of $149 round trip, which will become $149 one way after the introductory offer ends, some of Seaport's planes are already flying full. If there was any doubt Horizon was taking notice, it was erased on opening day Monday. Drivers parked at Boeing Field found flyers on their cars, hyping Horizon Air's new discounted fare of $69 each way between Seattle and Portland. And Crayford says Horizon's VP of Flight Ops was seen peering through the fence to see how the first day was going. When asked about the flyers, Dan Russo, Horizon's vice president of marketing, told the Seattle PI, quote, "just good old American competition," unquote. Crayford appears unfazed, quote, "we take that as a validation that we're onto something. This is the future. We are simply not in the same market anymore," unquote. If you're in touch with the shipping industry, you know that DHL spent a fortune a couple years ago to push its way into the shipping and logistics market dominated in the U.S. by UPS and FedEx. Almost overnight, a huge fleet of yellow trucks appeared on American streets. But Deutsche Post AG, the German company that owns DHL, has found turning a profit in North America difficult. After losing $1.3 billion in North America last year, the company approached UPS about carrying its air freight. ABX Air, which currently flies a significant portion of DHL air freight, is fighting to keep the business. The contractor flies a mixed fleet of Douglas DC-8s and 9s and Boeing 767s. Business from DHL accounted for 73% of ABX's 2007 revenue and 43% of its earnings. Dow Jones reports that Joe Heat, president and CEO of ABX parent Air Transport Services Group, said numerous attempts have been made since then to persuade Deutsche Post that his company's offering is more competitive than the UPS agreement. He added, however, that should ABX lose the DHL account, the company will survive through diversification. Still ahead, Aero TV camps out to catch the first flight of the jet. NATCA's president has warm words for a departing Phil Boyer. And EAA turns the focus back on home building. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Wass GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Wass, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 3rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's Jim Campbell and Aero TV videographer Nathan Cremasino have been camped out, literally, at Cirrus Design Headquarters for days, with viewfinders focused on N280CJ. The prototype for the company's first jet has been running up and down runway 27 at Duluth International. testing's gone about as far as it can go without an actual liftoff, with visible rotation of the nose wheel and good tracking down the center line of the runway despite significant crosswinds. So, when will it fly? The official answer remains unchanged. When it's ready. So relax and know that ANN and Aero TV are on site to make sure you don't miss a thing. Cirrus proudly touts the jet as the slowest, lowest, and cheapest jet available. It's expected to fly at about 300 knots at flight level 250, and more importantly, provide a logical next plane for existing customers of the hot-selling Cirrus Piston Singles. NATCA President Patrick Forey reacted this week to word Phil Boyer is retiring as president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Quote, "Phil's leadership of AOPA has resulted in tremendous growth of the organization and significant advancement for the safety of general aviation. While we knew this day was coming, it will be a bit strange to soon see the roster of aviation community leaders missing Phil's name. He's led AOPA nearly as long as NATCA has been in existence. We salute Phil on an extraordinary career and wish him smooth skies and safe flights into his retirement," unquote. Forey also congratulated incoming AOPA President Craig Fuller, noting he, quote, "brings a wealth of great leadership and aviation experience to this important position," unquote. You know, Craig will be only the fourth president in AOPA's 70-year history. That means that Phil Boyer's 18-year tenure, as long as that sounds, is shorter than average. The Experimental Aircraft Association is responding to criticism of AirVenture's loss of focus on home building by putting the nearly 1,000 home-built aircraft expected to attend this year's event in the spotlight. EAA will also be recording its popular Hints for Homebuilders video segments during AirVenture. Homebuilders with hints and tips on aircraft building techniques will have an opportunity to volunteer and become part of the popular Hints for Homebuilders online video series. Home builders can send their tips as well as the dates they'll be at AirVenture and a contact phone number to info@eaa.org. EAA will then be in touch to schedule a visit by a videographer. As part of the increased profile of home building, the honorary 30,000th home built will be selected and featured at AeroShell Square on July 30th and 31st. Any pilots flying their home built aircraft to AirVenture will be honored with a 2008 commemorative I Flew My Home Built patch. And finally, when you board an airliner, the airlines want you sober, alert, and ready to help yourself in the event an evacuation or other emergency response is required. But what if you're about to die anyway? Should an airline deny you boarding on a flight you paid for just so you could make it home to die? The Bangor Daily News reports Allegiant Air is reaping public scowls for doing just that. Dennis Hill's dying wish was to visit his family in Maine, then return to his waterfront home in Lakeland, Florida, where he loved to drink a cup of coffee in the morning and watch the neighborhood alligator. The Vietnam veteran suffered from liver cancer and multiple brain and lung tumors, but he made the trip to Maine by car. When doctors in Maine told his family he likely wouldn't survive the rigors of a drive back to Florida, his family bought two tickets on Allegiant Air. But Dennis and his brother weren't allowed to make that flight this past Saturday. The captain on the flight checked with a medical consultant, then denied Dennis boarding. The airline is backing his decision. So Dennis Hill was helped into a car for the drive home. And as predicted, he didn't make it. He passed away in a Florida hospital Tuesday before he got that last chance to look out over the water. The rest of us are left to ponder how airlines can fly captured fugitives back to prison in handcuffs and shackles, but a sedated, terminally ill veteran in a wheelchair is just too great a risk to himself and others to be allowed on board. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. EAA AirVenture is just over 3 weeks away, and there will be some incredible hardware parked on AeroShell Square at Oshkosh this year. EAA's Adam Smith will tell us more. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. Our audio features will be off tomorrow for the Independence Day holiday in the U.S. Be careful with those fireworks, and we'll see you back here Monday. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.